Excellent, fantastic. So last week we started a new series on spiritual gifts, looking at the various ones that it lists in the New Testament, the things that the Holy Spirit works in the lives of Christians to build us up and to build the church up as well. And it's our hope and our prayer that through this series, which is going to run into the early part of next year, that through it all we'll discover or have reaffirmed the particular things that God has gifted us in, and that we'll have an opportunity to put those into practice to serve him. So last week, Claire kicked us off with a great sermon introducing what we mean by spiritual gifts in the Bible, and how we also need, as well as the gifts, but also the fruits of the Spirit, and how they're important as well. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. How they're important as well. She gave us a great image last week of the apple tree and the Christmas tree. The apple tree representing the fruits of the Spirit, the Christmas tree representing the gifts. If you weren't around last week, I'd really encourage you to get on the church website and listen back to that, because it was really, really good. As it says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 13 to 14, it says, every Christian has God with them all the time by the Holy Spirit. Through the Spirit, God guides each one of us in our walk with him. He builds us up and builds us up in our community as well. So this week, we're going through various different gifts. This week, we're looking at knowledge and wisdom. This is a great place to start in terms of looking through these in a bit of an order, because knowledge and wisdom are ones that we're all involved in and we can all be involved in as well. So some of the Just a bit of an aside as we start off. It's a bit of an aside, but hopefully it's relevant for the series as we go forwards as well. And I've shared this before as well, that for me sometimes, some of the ways that the Holy Spirit works in the lives of Christians and in the church seem a bit mysterious sometimes, a bit abstract and a bit intimidating. And I'm never quite sure how to process it all. But I found great comfort in knowing that God has put somewhat of a framework around good spiritual things to help us out with that. So when anyone speaks or shares or teaches or does administrative stuff or whatever it is, God has given us four or five sort of acid tests almost to weigh and discern about what's right to help us going forwards. And these are mostly in the first part of 1 Corinthians 12. So firstly, what the Spirit works in the life of the Christian should always acknowledge Jesus in verse 3. It shouldn't acknowledge anybody else. It's all about Jesus and him being our Lord and Saviour and friend. Secondly, verse 5, it should be something from God, not by the personal attainment of the particular believer. It's something that the Spirit works in us. Fourthly, it is something that should be for God's glory. Not for our own glory or our own praise. It should be for him and for nothing else. And fourthly, it should bless each other as well. And there are ways that the Holy Spirit works in our lives and teaches us and builds us up that have an impact on our personal walk of faith, but it should have an outworking in our lives that blesses others as well. And fifthly, it should agree with the Bible. The Holy Spirit inspired the Bible, therefore the Bible and what the Spirit does can't disagree. So that's always a good test away. I hope that's helpful. I hope that gives us a bit of a framework to weigh and test and discern things from the Spirit as we move through this series. So, knowledge then. Start off there. What is knowledge in the Bible? What do we mean by that when we look at it in a biblical way? I realise that's probably not the most helpful picture, because I'm just about to contradict that a little bit, but anyway. In 2 Peter chapter 3, Christians are instructed to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Knowledge in biblical terms is not just it's not just knowing about Jesus, it's about actually knowing him. There are lots of things that we can know and learn about Jesus, but when we become Christians, that theoretical understanding that we have becomes a real faith, a living relationship by grace. We can have a fairly reasonable grasp of the concepts of God's holiness and his standards. we can get our heads a bit around our imperfections and our need for salvation and grace, and his great love for us, our dependence on him. But it's the Holy Spirit that grows and makes that theoretical knowledge into a real and living faith. So that's what we mean by knowledge, not just merely knowing about something, but actually understanding it and truly knowing it. So why does God give knowledge as a gift? Simply because God loves us, he cares for us, and he wants us to know him more and more the longer we go on living for him. To expand on that a little bit, growing in our faith, helped by the Holy Spirit, is something that we all do, something that we're all a part of as Christians. Wherever and whenever we read the Bible, whenever we pray, whenever we worship, whenever we meet with God's people, whenever we talk about the faith, the Spirit is growing us. God is building our faith and encouraging us and leading us on with him. True knowledge, therefore, is something that we're all trying to grow in as Christians, that growth in our relationship with God. And therefore, sharing that knowledge, sharing what we know of who God is, should be a fundamental part of our church life. Inevitably, as Paul hints at here, that some people will have a greater ability to learn and to share in the way that some people have a greater ability to do, to encourage, to organise, that kind of thing. Generally speaking, if I don't know about something theological, I'd probably ask Nathan or Paul Rockley. But it definitely doesn't mean that it's only those who are most educated that are the only ones with knowledge. It definitely doesn't mean that. I've been taught far more about God from people who haven't got theology degrees than by people who have. By the Spirit, very often, people are in the right place at the right time with the right words to share something that they know of God that's going to bless us and build us up. And we all have something to say. We all have something to contribute and to encourage with that. So what impact does knowledge have on us and on the church more widely? So the Holy Spirit helps each Christian to grow to know God more, to understand the Bible more, to be renewed, to become more like Jesus, to become more mature in our faith, to have a bigger picture faith, to understand more aspects of God's character, to pray more, to gradually get our hearts and our minds and our heads a little bit further around how great God's love for us is, and understand grace even more, the magnitude of the salvation that we've received and the love that we know in Jesus. The Spirit helps us, and the more we grow in our knowledge of the Bible and the way that Spirit works through that, makes our conceptual understanding of God something real and something even bigger. So what then does a knowledgeable church look like? If we were to embrace the gift of true knowledge, knowledge founded in the Word, built on the foundation of the gospel of Jesus and powered by the Spirit, what would our church look like? Basically, the church is meant to be that. It's meant to be a place where we share knowledge, where we build each other up and share what we know. If a church hasn't got that, it tends towards inertia, really. It tends towards a very one-dimensional picture of who God is. And often kind of treat teaches sort of trite maxims instead of like a living word. It's where a church that doesn't have that sort of proper knowledge is one where only the people who've read the most books are the ones speaking. On the other hand, the church that embraces that freely offered gift of knowledge that the Spirit works in us is one where people talk about what they've learned about who God is. It's where people say, oh, I read this in the Bible the other day and I find it really encouraging. It's a place where people have a desire to learn from others as well. It's when people meet up and say, so what's God been encouraging you with recently? What's been really exciting about what God's doing in your life? Where people know that there's more to learn, that we've not reached that point of knowing everything that there is to know yet. A knowledgeable church is where we remind each other about God's promises and his nature when we most need to know them. It's a place where people teach others by living like Jesus told us how to, and teach by example. It's a place where there's a culture of sharing what we know about God and being willing to engage with that. And by this, Everybody grows in faith. We get understanding from people who have different personalities, different experiences of life, different ways in which God has worked, and we all grow richer and deeper in our faith the more that we share and learn from each other. And that means that a knowledgeable church, truly knowledgeable church, is one where everybody is treated as though they have something important and valuable to say, because that's true. It's the Holy Spirit that's working. People will be in the right place at the right time with the right words when we trust in what the Spirit is doing. And very often, sometimes we don't realize how important what it is we say is in people's lives and how encouraging it can be. It's amazing how many times you hear of somebody being reminded of God's promise from somebody else. They didn't really realize how big a thing that was going to be, but God worked through it, and it's exactly what they needed to hear at that time, a message of God's love, of hope, of grace, whatever it was, the right words at the right time. And the Spirit can work that in the lives of our community. So a knowledgeable church is one where there is a general culture of sharing what we're learning about God and what we know. And we'll, through that, we will see the miraculous, that sort of one-off, kind of that message, that word of knowledge, that reminder of who God is when we need it, when we're most in need of hearing it. So how can we grow in knowledge then, as believers and as a church? Well, basically, whenever we're seeking to follow Jesus, seeking to grow in our faith in whatever way, the Holy Spirit is growing our faith and our relationship with God. Whenever we read our Bible, whenever we pray, whenever we worship, whenever we meet up with others, we're giving God an opportunity to grow our knowledge and to build us and each other up as well. So if you've got a particular knack for saying the right thing at the right time, then just don't be shy. Be confident to share what it is that you know about God that might be encouraging to the person that you're with at that point. And so if anybody has any particular Bible passages, any particular aspects of God's character that you found particularly encouraging recently, then please come and share it. If it's during worship on a Sunday, come to whoever's leading up the front and talk about whether that's something that's important to share during that service. If you're not confident to share it up the front, somebody else will do that for you. Just be encouraged. Give it a try. If there's something particularly that you think is from God, then be confident to share it. It's always good to sort of say things like, I found this really encouraging when I read this in the Bible this week. I think it'd be really encouraging for everybody else to hear that too, and that sort of thing. So that's wisdom. Knowledge then. That was knowledge. This is wisdom. Slightly the wrong way around. Okay, so to start us off, difference between wisdom and knowledge. The writer, musician, and humorist Miles Kington once said that knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is not putting it in a fruit salad. So, in that sense, wisdom should always have a practical outworking. Knowledge is what we know and that kind of thing. Wisdom is how we then put that into practice. In the Old Testament, when we look at what we call the wisdom books, books like Proverbs, that whole book is all about the everyday business of working out what it means to live for God. Guidance about what's ethical, what's sensible, how can I approach a particular situation with the right heart. That's what wisdom was in the Old Testament. That's what it was seen as. And it's quite interesting when we were hearing earlier people's thoughts about what is a typical wise person. There was quite a range. There were some of those great biblical examples of wisdom. People who listen, people who consider, people who pray before they respond. Equally, there were some as well. Gandalf, Dumbledore, that kind of thing. People who have impressive beards and stand somewhat aloof to a particular situation and issue pronouncements about what's the right thing to do, but don't really get involved themselves. It's very easy to think of that latter example, that sort of pop culture type idea of wisdom whenever we think of somebody being wise, but that doesn't seem to be how it is in the Bible. In the beginning of 1 Corinthians, in chapter 2, Paul's addressing that exact concern. I'd encourage you to go read that passage as well, because it's a really, really good one. But basically what Paul was saying was that that very old classical kind of Roman and Greek way of doing wisdom was to sort of stand back, to be aloof, to stroke one's beard and to, yeah, just say trite, very wise sounding things, but then not get involved. And that was kind of the wisdom that some people were chasing after in the Christian faith. And he was pointing them back to what the Bible says that wisdom is actually about. That biblical wisdom, if again, to paraphrase what's in 1 Corinthians 2, and again, I'd encourage you to read it to check that I'm paraphrasing it right. Basically, biblical wisdom, according to Paul, is knowing that there is a powerful God and that we're not in charge. It's knowing that God is holy and we're not, but that we should try. Biblical wisdom is knowing Jesus as our Saviour by grace and then living a life that says thank you to him. Biblical wisdom is knowing that the gospel is the most profound truth in the world and then living in light of that and living in light of it being true. And true biblical wisdom, as it says in the passage, is indiscriminate. You don't have to be clever to know Jesus and to live for him. You don't need to be rich or important. You don't need to be highly educated. True wisdom is living for Jesus, and it's for everybody. Anyone who repents and believes can be wise. And that's what's picked up in that passage in James chapter 1 as well. Anybody can ask God for wisdom, and God will give it because he's faithful and he loves us and he longs for us to know what to do when it comes to living for him. And this perspective on our lives is given by the Spirit. It's something that we receive by grace. It's not something we attain by our own efforts. We should want to be wise. We should want to spend time growing to know God better, and allowing God to work in our lives and make us wiser. So why does God want to give that gift? I've kind of explained it already. But basically, because living God's way is the best way to live. And God wants to help us out with that. When it's very easy to be distracted, very easy to be blinkered, very easy to head the wrong way. But God loves us and cares for us and wants to help us to know the right things to do. Sometimes we just don't know which way to go. We don't know the right decision to make, but we have each other and we have God. We have the Word to guide us in that and to point us in the right direction. So what does a wise church look like? Well, probably for a start, what does an unwise church look like? An unwise church is one that will wield knowledge as power. It'll speak in platitudes and advice, but not want to actually get their hands dirty and help out. It'll be theory, but no action. And it'll be all by their own efforts instead. But instead, imagine the impact that true wisdom, true godly wisdom could have, biblical wisdom, when it's embraced by a church, by a community. A wise church builds people who are maturing, who are living in an increasingly godly way, who have a perspective and a practical outworking of their faith, and how they live as well. A church that receives the freely offered gift of wisdom is where people share knowledge about God, share their lives with each other, and help each other out in the practical ways that they need. Encourage each other along in the faith. When people talk, when people discuss, people nudge each other along in the faith and show people the right way. That's wisdom in a community setting. That's what it's about. And like knowledge, a church with wise, Spirit-led culture invites the miraculous. We should be looking to be wiser and to be helping each other along in our Christian walks. But occasionally, God will speak something miraculous into the church. For those who are struggling, for those who don't know the way forwards, for those who are struggling to make a decision, God can, by the Holy Spirit, speak wisdom and guidance directly into people's lives or through the encouragement and support of those around. And so that's a church that embraces Spirit-given biblical wisdom. So how can we grow in that? How can we grow in that as individual believers and as a church? Growing in wisdom, because of its quite practical discipling sort of aspects when it's in a church setting, means practical action. It means reading our Bibles more. It means studying it together and encouraging each other, praying together, talking and discussing about where each other are in our faiths and in our lives and helping us to grow together with that deep commitment to help each other out and support each other in our faith. That's the goal, is to help each other to grow to know God more and invite him to work in through that. And inevitably, as it says in the passage, there'll be some people that are more gifted with perspective and with guidance than others, in the same way that some people are more gifted with playing music, and some at organising, and some at teaching, whatever it is. That there will be some people who are specifically gifted with wisdom. And in James 1, it does remind us, though, that even though there are some people who might tend to be a bit more gifted in wisdom, that it's actually something we should all be trying to work towards in God, to ask God for the way forwards, for the right decisions to make, for the right choices to make as well. That we should ask, as it says in James. I'm just going to pull that passage up and read it, because it's a really helpful thing to remember. So James chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, "If anybody lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him." A promise from God for us to take forwards, that he will give us wisdom if we ask for it. So let's do that. Let's keep asking God for wisdom, for knowledge, to keep sharing about God whenever we meet up as his people, to love each other, to encourage each other in our faith, and to look out for each other when we need it. And just keep praying that God will give us the right words to say at the right times, to be in the right conversations with the right people, where we can help each other out in the most useful and helpful way for his glory. That we will point to God to honour him and to remind each other about Jesus. So in that light, let's pray for those things. Let's pray for knowledge. Let's pray for wisdom. And then we're going to respond. Lord God, thank you that we are all growing in our knowledge of you, and that knowledge is going to lead to wisdom when we put it into practice and live for you, Lord. We pray for each person here this evening, and myself included in that you'll help us to grow to know you more, that we'll grow in the knowledge that we have and in the impact that that has on our lives. Lord, will you give us knowledge? Will you give us wisdom? Will you help us to know the right way forwards in our lives? And will you help us to share that with each other? Help us to grow in our community, in our church family, so that we might share our knowledge more and give us a fuller understanding of who you are, and that we might help each other to walk your path together and to know the ways that we can help each other out with that, Lord God. Lord, we just pray for those who are specifically gifted at learning, for those who are specifically gifted at giving advice and having perspective on things. We pray that they will embrace that and be more willing to invite you to use that gift to build other people up and to guide others through that, Lord God. In your name we pray. Amen.